Good evening and welcome to Twist of Faith. Last episode, we started the book of Matthews, sharing with you my idea of what Jesus meant when he was laying out the parables, because it seems that people had a hard time with those. And we're going to continue with that through this one. We're going to begin with the parable of the unforgiving debtor. When Peter asked how often I should forgive someone who sins against me, 7 times. No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors who brought in owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him to be patient, and he would pay it. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sisters from your heart. For me, basically, treat others as you wish to be treated. If someone forgives you a debt, return the favor. Pass it on. By forgiving those who sin against you, then all your sins shall be forgiven. Parable of the Vineyard Workers. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked him, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them to go out and join the others in his vineyard. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, they received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed that they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. "Those people have worked only 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in a scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. It is against the law for me to do what I want to do. It isn't against the law for me to do what I want to do with money. Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." Needless to say, the landowner is God, and the vineyard is all the nations that he created. The workers are those out there sharing their good news about God to others and demonstrating by how they conduct their personal lives. Whether you have been living right as you believe for 40 years or for four, all will be granted the promise of eternal life. The parable of the two sons. A man with two sons told the older boy, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." The son answered, "No, I won't go." But later he changed his mind and went anyway. And the father told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will." But he didn't go. Jesus asked, "Which of the two obeyed his father?" They replied, "The first." Then Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth. Corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you decided not to believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you still refused to believe him and repent from your sins." I believe it's when you are given a task to complete that task. And all that you do afterwards is forgivable. But pretending you're going to do something knowing that you really do not have any intention to complete the task paves the way straight back to hell. Today we call it lying. But I believe back in those times it was called bearing false witness. The parable of the evil farmers. A certain landlord planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. So the landowner sent a larger group of his servants to collect for him. But the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But when the tenant farmer saw him coming, they said to one another, he is the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him, dragged him out in the vineyard, and murdered him. When the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asked, what do you think he would do to the farmers? The religious leaders replied, he would put the wicked man to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who would give him his share of the crop after each harvest. Jesus says, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit. When he was talking to the religious leaders, I honestly believe he was recanting the story of God first saw Israel as the chosen ones. And all that he asked was for them to educate others about him and live in the ways to show others how they should be living. In the beginning, God sent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to help teach them the way. But instead of heeding their advice, Israel killed them. He sent others to replace them. Stephen, John the Baptist, Moses, well, Moses wasn't killed, but so many others. And Israel did the same, the exact same thing again. So now he sends his son. But lo and behold, Israel decides, I don't care if it's his son. As long as we can say we don't believe he's the son, then we should be justified at doing the same thing to him that we've done to the others. At some point or another, someone may have thought that because they were the chosen ones, they was going to inherit the land anyway. Needless to say, they were wrong. Because no matter what you gather here on earth, it will not follow you into heaven. If you make it. The parable of the great feast. A king prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But they refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them the feast had been prepared, the bull and calf, fattened calf, cattle had been killed, and everything was ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored him and went on their way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers, insulted them, and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. He said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed one wasn't wearing the proper clothing for a wedding. And when the king asked the man, he had no reply. The king said to his aides, "Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Israel was a chosen one. God prepared the perfect place for them. He allowed great victories for their armies to fully occupy the land God had prepared for them. But when he called them all to celebrate this, none of them showed. They ignored him and chose to follow their own ideas and laws instead of his. God finally decided with the newest covenant to open up the kingdom of heaven to all and send out invitations to all corners of the world. However, we still need to be cautious, for there will still be those who are invited to share in this group of eternal life, gift of eternal life, who will not quite measure up, and they will be cast back into the darkness. So for those of you running around here telling everybody that they should hate Israel, I think you should be grateful to them. Because had not they allowed themselves to be tricked and fooled and owned by Satan, we, the rest of us, may not, could not have probably got this, probably would have never got this opportunity. So say thank you. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids. At the time, the kingdom of heaven would be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise one, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamp is going out." "No," replied the wise ones. "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who was ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door shut. Later, the others also came, crying, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But their reply, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." Bottom line, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Those of us wishing to pass through this golden gates of heaven must be prepared for a long and often dark journey. We must prepare like we've never prepared for anything before and be on constant guard because no one knows when the kingdom of heaven gates will open for us to come in. This concludes this episode of A Twist of Faith. I believe with Matthew's, we have one more parable that we want to get through. So we'll do that next time. Until then, take care. Be safe. God bless. And remember, you're not broken, you're not defective. You're not crazy. You're not alone. And you will always, always be loved.